day. I'm gonna take you to your mama, baby.
Things, blues, and Southern Rock Podcast. A Southern Storm of bold, liberating rock shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
We got Lonnie Hammer from Hammer Down Hard. He has also in the past played with Jack Russell's Great White, Every Mother's Nightmare, and Black Oak, Arkansas, which we hope to get into a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Welcome on, man. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to sit around and talk to y'all.
Right?
Thank you.
Right. You know, even our little Southern Rock and Blues podcast, which you fit into with a lot of your history.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't get more Southern Rock than Black Oak, Arkansas.
How do you get into Black Oak, Arkansas?
I don't know. I guess they heard about me and like my drumming or something. I don't know. I used to play in a band called Every Mother's Nightmare. And
yes.
Jim Dan used to come out and see us play all the time. And he just loved my drumming. So he offered me the gig. And the rest is history. I loved it. I did their last record with him.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Jack Russell's Great White, you got a chance to play with him. What was that like?
Man, I tell you what. Playing with... him and all the songs, I mean, every song was a hit. I mean, I'm going, man, I can't believe I'm playing these songs. It's like I love that song.
Were you a fan prior to being on with him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, that was just getting called for that gig too. It was like, hey, hell yeah, you know, I'm down for that. I love this. They're really blues based and just real smooth. You know, they get lumped into the hair metal thing, but they aren't.
Exactly right. And yeah, and that's what we're about.
Yeah, and so I mean, it's. It was such an honor playing with them, and like I said, as a big fan of the music to begin with, so how lucky am I?
So is that a Memphis connection that when you were in Every Mother's Nightmare? Where are you from?
I'm actually from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay. You know what? You got your accent.
Gave me... Oh, busted. We got you figured out, Lonnie.
He's from North Dakota, but you don't really have much of a...
They say... Well, some people have a Scandinavian accent.
Yeah. Well, that's what... my heritage is Finland.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Finlander.
Yeah. But I was catching some of that, and I was wondering. I'm like, if you're from Memphis, Tennessee, I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah, it's not sauna. It's a sauna. You know, that's the correct pronunciation, you know, from Finland, you know. It's a sauna.
Well, we're neighbors. I'm from Ohio. He's from North Dakota, but, you know.
Yeah.
What's going on now with your new band?
Hammer Down Hard? Well, basically, I started a band about 3 years ago. Okay. Me and my manager got together, and I was a drummer at the time, and I decided I wanted to... matter of fact, I called up Rockfist in Cadott, Wisconsin. I called a promoter up there. I said, hey, man, I got this new band called Hammer Down Hard. How do I get a gig? You know, how can I play... And he goes, just send me an email requesting it. I did. He goes, you're in. But the funny thing is, the only thing I had was the name Hammer Down Hard. I didn't have one song written. I had nothing. I didn't have any members. And then I called up my manager, Kim. I said, hey, I just booked Rockfest. And she goes, oh, really? And I said, oh, by the way, I'm not playing drums. I'm a singer. And she goes, okay. And she never heard me sing before. And so I went in the studio. We cut my pilot song, and me and Justin Reimer wrote, my producer, and we're friends with Zach Myers from Shinedown.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And Justin sent the song to, matter of fact, he called Zach, said, hey, I actually texted him. He said, hey, well, Lonnie's in the studio cutting a song. Would you be interested in playing guitar on it? And Zach goes, well, who's singing? And he goes, Lonnie, because I'm a drummer. And
right.
He goes, all right, well, send it over. So he emailed a song, and Zach got back. He goes, wow, I wasn't expecting that. When do you want me to come on in? And so then he played lead guitar on my first song, and we recorded the rest of the record, and here I am.
So were you... Okay, two questions. Were you doing backing vocals when you drummed for like Black Oak Arkansas, Jack Russell's Great White, Every Mother's Nightmare?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're already doing vocals. So you knew you could sing okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a whole different animal going up front and, you know, being bare naked with all the drums.
Do you ever find yourself like air drumming just by habit?
Yeah, I do that. And sometimes it helped the drummer find the punch bars.
You got to find the pocket here, buddy. Come on, let's get the time.
No, I'm cool. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. But but yeah, it's I love it. The best part about it is writing lyrics. And look, I've been around the block. I played with everybody. Did everything that I possibly could ever dream of.
Right.
But it was really nice to be able to write lyrics. And it's funny how much angst I had in my life. And because, you know, rock and roll or music industry is a lot of pitfalls.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to put that stuff on paper. And a lot of people are walking around kicking dogs now.
So my part two question is, who is the best drummer singer?
Ooh. Well, Dave Grohl, I mean.
He's kind of like almost like you. He started as a drummer, now he's a singer in a band, although he's playing guitar. Are you playing guitar?
No, I could stumble around a guitar, but I'm not.
So, we've had people like Phil Collins, mm-hmm. and my personal favorite, Levon Helm, ooh. From the band, mm-hmm. right? He's a great singer.
Yep.
You know? So I go with Levon, and you're number two.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
No, I don't like Phil Collins.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. A lot of people don't, but he's got a lot of money.
He had a lot of money and a lot of hits, but I still hold it against him for that disastrous Led Zeppelin reunion at Live Aid where he played drums with them. It's his fault. 100%.
100%.
Probably not, but I'm going to blame him for it.
We can't forget about Peter Criss.
Well, yeah, Peter Criss. There you go. What, he sang Beth?
Yeah, and he's got such a cool voice.
He does.
I mean,
yeah, he's got a Rod Stewart type of vibe.
It's a unique voice, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, he does. So where do we get your stuff? Where do we get Hammer Down? Website? Is there physical media? Where do we go listen to you, get your material?
Well, look, out on every, Amazon, everywhere you can get my songs and music, stuff like that. We're on everything. Look up Hammer Down Hard.
That name, though. That's a pretty freaking cool name.
Yeah, thanks. I try to stay relevant, Yeah. I mean, it's just current and, all the great names are already taken, so you got to have, figure about, here's a couple of the records.
Oh, thank you, guys. Oh, appreciate thank you. That.
But, and as a matter of fact, I did a remake of the song Fox on a Run.
Oh, yeah.
And, cool. From the band Sweet.
Sweet, yeah.
And
it was on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack, that song. Yeah,
and it's
great soundtrack.
And people love it.
Yeah.
My voice, we're talking about like Peter Criss' voice stuff, my voice fit the song really well. I didn't change the essence of the song. I just heavied it up and stuff. But the type of music y'all dig and stuff, I know you love that song.
Well, I mean, if you're with Jack Russell's Great White, Black Oak, Arkansas, Every Mother's Nightmare, a very underrated band, by the way. That's a freaking cool band. I think we're going to like what you're doing. I'm eager to check it out. Brian, what do you think?
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, you guys have been nothing but gold to me here. So it's like,
thank you.
What's next for you? You got some shows coming up? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and every year they have this big World Championship Hot Wing Festival.
Yeah.
And it's my first hometown gig, and I'm headlining it. It's Lane at
Hot Wings and Rock and Roll.
Yeah, it's at
Brian knows.
in Memphis, Tennessee, it's at Tiger Lane at the Liberty Bowl. And not too bad of a first gig for little old me,
And what are the dates of that?
That's August 28th.
August 28th. Well, I don't know if I can make Memphis. I may try, though. That sounds cool. I'll hit you up.
Don't fly. Lost all your hot wings.
Right. So we have Hammer Down Hard coming August 28th
yep.
to the Wing. What is it called?
The World Champion Hot
World
Wing Festival.
Champion Hot Wing Festival. You've got some CDs out there. Check you out Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You got TikTok?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
That's
our last conversation. Talked a lot about TikTok.
No, Shane, put my head down.
Well, I don't have TikTok either, so don't worry about it.
You better put your head down then, too. No, well, everybody's popular.
Our podcast is available Spotify, Amazon, Apple, anywhere you go. So we will, when we post this very special episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock, you say it better than I do, we'll make sure we link you in social media where we can find so you can help promote it.
Okay, well, you both are Yankees, but now you're so much into Southern Rock. How does that work?
All through the Black Crowes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All through our love of the Black Crowes, and then hearing them talk about who they listen to and just peeling back the layers. And a lot of the bands that we talk to now are the newer bands from the Southeast, that are so, you know, Blackberry Smoke, kind of they're kind of like the flagship for all that. And you know, they decided they were going to be a people's band, and all these bands have, you know, like fan Facebook pages, so it's a chance for us to even get in on part of the promotion. So
well, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you must be very familiar with the Memphis heritage, you know, all the, you know, so much blues and stuff down
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. It's so thick, you know, and it's they're proud of it. And it makes it a little more difficult for somebody like me in a metal. You know, we coined the phrase Memphis metal, and that's what we are.
Well, Brian and I are old metal guys. Like, you know.
And some still,
Well, I'm still in the metal, but, you know, we probably love the metal stuff. I love score 70s rock, and then the Black Crowes, to his point, kind of really got us into what's the southern rock scene about, you know, getting the Allman Brothers bands and things like that. And now we appreciate like some of the stuff that you did with your bands that you played in, and like the Cinderellas and the Teslas, who still played
Great
and had
White.
That
Junkyard,
a little bit unfairly linked into like hair metal. It was more blues or southern based rock music.
Well, the thing is, all the musicians are hurting for cash.
Right.
And so I was very fortunate. A buddy of mine just bought this 47,000 square foot building. Ooh. And we're making it in. He bought me on because I'm well versed in the music industry, and we're creating this new rock venue. It's like a 2,000 seater. It's in East Memphis.
Yeah.
And we're fixing to open that place up in about 6 weeks. So we're going to be getting bands like, you know, we're hoping the large, like, like the Teslas, or even like, you know, even like a Black Crowes. And I like to stay current. I like to get like the band Ghost and stuff in there.
Oh, right. Ghost. Right. Yeah. So, good metal band.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're one of the only new metal bands that actually kind of rose to the top, because everybody's kind of stuck listening to older stuff, which I understand. It's a familiarity kind of deal. But there's so many great new bands out there. And even blues, you know, there's a lot of upcoming blues artists that are.
That's why I started the podcast. Let's get these new guys who don't get any promotion out in the world.
Yeah, they got babies and kids to take care of.
Yeah, they do.
You know, like I said, Led Zeppelin and stuff. You know, I love Led Zeppelin and all that. But I mean, you know, they got. I'm not saying they got enough money or anything. I'm not saying that. But a lot of these younger bands are raising families and they're having a hard time.
Yeah.
So maybe these younger bands or the newer bands should maybe get part of that pie, just because they got to make
absolutely
a living. I mean, they got families to raise.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys are going about the right way too. Like, you know, having these bands come in, festivals are really big, important. I know you're coming to a festival. Without these festivals, these bands don't get shows and on you know, on bills, and they support each other because of what you're talking about. They all have to help each other make it. And like, that's one of the cool things about the scene right now, is it's not real competitive. It's everybody's trying to help each other survive.
Yeah, because we just did Rockfest, and you'd be surprised, even a lot of these bands are breaking their own gear down.
Yeah.
You know, because they're just trying to cut
corners. It's just expensive,
You know, I mean, I got my own tour bus, and I mean, I feel very fortunate. But I mean, a lot of these people are just trying to cut corners, whether, you know, hey, we don't have a drum tech, or we don't have a...
Right.
You know, that's why I became a vocalist now, because I'll just give me my
it's
microphone.
It's a lot easier.
Hey, drummer, say
the drummer's
you.
The worst.
Hey, Lonnie, can you help me? You know how to do drums? No, screw you.
I play guitar. I go and put my amp and connect a guitar to it, and maybe a pedal, and then I laugh at our drummer. You need any help over there? Just kidding. Screw you.
See, we can poke fun at that now, you know.
Yeah, you can.
Well, you guys are fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, and reach back out to us, too, as you get new albums and stuff. Man, we'd love to talk to you a little bit more and give you a full episode, whatever we can do.
Yeah, just check it out, and you can get in touch with me if you like it.
Okay.
You know, send me a message on Facebook or whatever. I'm Lonnie Hammer.
Yeah. Lonnie Hammer right. From Hammer Down Hard.
Yes.
Thank you for being on.
You guys rock. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ace Von Johnson from LA Guns, and also played with Faster Pussycat. Thanks for being here with us today, Ace.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. What's Rock and Pod like for you so far?
I'm having a good time. I'm a little, you know, this is the first convention I've been at in about probably 2 years, you know, obviously post-apocalypse. And so it's a little strange just being around, you know, all these people and you know, it's not. I've been to some concerts and some stuff since the last few months, but everybody's, you know, hey man, hey, and I'm just right. like, oh, there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that I guess, you know, saying hi,
right?
So sort of, I'm just used to me and the dogs, you know. So I'm like, oh, there's people.
Oh okay. Yeah, you're a big rescue dog guy, man.
Yes, sir. Nice. Yeah.
You know what? That's very respectful to Thank do that. You know what? People would treat dogs and animals like crap. Like they're the lowest form of human.
I sadly agree. We shouldn't even have to say that, but yeah, absolutely. I'm a big pit bull advocate, yeah. Dog rescue.
Right.
I try to spend as much of my free time invested into that. But yeah,
like a lot of your social media is doing that. Like, you know, you're a good dude, I guess. Well, you know, I just met you.
Thanks. Let's not put the cart before the horse. But yeah. I'm just a big fan of animals in general.
Yeah.
They're a lot nicer than people.
Oh, for sure.
But how's the weekend going for you guys?
Good. This is our first Rockin' Pod, and I just said to Jason, I think this is heaven. It's pretty much heaven.
It's cool. Everybody's been great. I mean, Southern hospitality, you know, I'm an Angeleno, so for me, I'm just still getting used to everybody being not a jerk.
Right,
you
know? Right.
But I'm having a good time. I'm here with my buddies. I'm over at the table with Rackman. And
yeah.
You know, it's like my best friend, so we're just making fart jokes and selling shirts.
Well, he's right next to the Resistant Bike Guys, right, with Tommy Skio and all those guys. Yeah, big Tesla fan. Hey, so obviously our podcast, All Things Blues and Southern Rock, is a blues and Southern Rock, mostly. We do other rock.
There's
too,
some blues scales and LA Guns songs.
That's what I'm getting into. So really, how much I know you've come on, but you know, Tracy's been there forever. But really, how much does a blues, that kind of stuff, really play into what you're doing?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, rock and roll is foundation is blues. I mean, rhythm and blues, rock and it's all blues based,
right?
I'm not a big, as far as like a guitar player goes, I'm not a big like Locrian scale guy.
I would Locrian scale. Now that's a deep cut there, man.
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell that is.
I don't either know what it is.
It's like a flat third or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Somebody's listening to this cringing going, that's wrong. I don't know. I never took a lesson in my freaking life. I don't know what I'm talking about. But the blues scale, if you will. With the flat fifth.
So, yeah.
There it is.
So, yeah.
I kind of know what I'm talking
just
about.
So you know, like, pentatonic
without the guitar
minor,
in my
major.
Hands, I don't really know what I'm talking about. I can't explain it. So, I just know how to make it, you know. I don't know what it's called. I just know what it's sound it makes when it takes a man's life, you know. The blues scale, I mean, it's like, I would rather hear, God, you know, I would rather hear Muddy Waters or even, like, we're talking about contemporary stuff.
Yeah.
I would rather hear a Slash-type solo than someone go like...
Agreed.
That's just me.
Right.
That's just what I want.
Right.
All of my favorite hard rock or metal players, this one beer is getting to me.
You're a lightweight, is what you're saying.
Well, to be fair,
it's like half a Bud Light. Come
I
on.
Haven't eaten since yesterday. They had a lunch for me and I missed it.
Dude.
So I'm going on, what is it, like 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
I would say in the last 30 hours, I've had a banana. And that's not a line. That is a tangible thing. Rackman and I drove around trying to find a place to eat last night, like 2 a.m, and everything was closed.
We're even like, the Waffle House right next to us?
Well, we didn't. Was it
sketchy?
There was some activity there that we chose to avoid.
You guys are rock and roll lifer. Come on. It was too sketchy for you?
I'm too old for this shit, man. You know? So I swore. I'm sorry. But
you can swear as much as you fucking
want. Okay. I'll try to keep it dialed back, but. Yeah, it just, you know, 2 a.m. at a Waffle House anywhere in this country is going to be questionable at best. Let's just be honest. And so, I'm, needless to say, my one Bud Light or two-thirds of a Bud Light.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm getting a little loosey-goosey. But, and to be fair, I'm not really a lightweight normally. I'm just going on zero sleep, no food, and strictly alcohol here.
You're blowing this image that Brian and I have of heavy metal, hard rock scene right now.
Well, you know what? I do drink a lot of Jack and ginger.
Okay.
So I can do that all day and function. But the beer hits me differently. Same thing with wine. It just makes me, you know, different buzz. But, you know, as far as the blues scale stuff, I mean... Some of my favorite rock and metal guitar players are bluesy guys.
Sure.
One guy that I don't think gets enough credit is a guy named John Christ. He's on the first 4 Danzig albums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his stuff was technical, but it was all very bluesy.
Sure.
And when I was a kid, he was still one of my favorite guitar players. And I just always liked the, you know, the vibrato and the bendy stuff and, you know, the sort of bluesy bass stuff. But you know, to be honest, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm like a punk rock guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can't go too deep into that world and act like I know what I'm talking
right.
about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, really, at the end of the day, it's all Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where all this starts. And then you get into, you know, the Elvis Presleys.
Right.
And the Jerry Lee Lewis and all that stuff. And then it just, and then you get the New York Dolls and then Aerosmith and then it's everything else. And then heavy metal and whatever.
Right. So, blues really does, has laid the foundation for rock and roll.
Absolutely.
Blues and R&B music.
Yeah. You know, so thank you for blues music.
Yeah, thank you, blues music. Well, you know, we do a lot of contemporary artists, people, established people. Like, we've got Gorman from the Black Crowes, like Kevin Martin from Canton. Like, we do that, and we do a lot of new and upcoming guys. And, like, you know, we just had the Dead Deads, people from the Dead Dead. Yeah, definitely take stickers. Take as many as you want.
Sure.
You know, so we do that. And then we do, like, a lot of newer bands coming out. We've had, like, Tyler Bryant, you know, Nashville guy.
Oh, he's so talented.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That band is crazy. I just saw him live a couple weeks ago. Amazing.
Yeah.
Even Woodford is, like, can just play the shit out of a guitar.
Yeah.
Are there any new players or bands right now that are, like, inspiring you?
Gosh. Nothing that's really bluesy.
Yeah. Well, no, just any rock bands. This is a rock podcast. I know we got the blues.
I'm trying to like lean
hard. No, don't help us out. Just talk your shit.
You know, there's a couple bands, and of course I can't remember what they're called. There's a band called Spirit Box. That's this really interesting female fronted, like almost metal industrial, like
interesting.
They're an amalgamation of stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even tell you what genre they are that I really like, that actually Ricky turned me on to. And then, man, you put me on the spot. And I
know.
Apologize.
Dude, that's all right.
There aren't really...
We ask the hard questions. Like, well, who do you like?
Again, I should have been more prepared for this.
Hey Brian, take that Bud Light away from me,
would
you?
Yeah, take this away.
You're cut off.
Sadly, yeah. Well, you know, it was the thing, I woke up this morning at like 6:30 because one of the dogs was like, I want to go outside. And then I was like, I got to do all this stuff. I was like, and I'm awake. So I'm going on like minimal sleep and doing the whole rounds.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little fried. So I apologize.
You're good.
Newer bands. They're not too new. There's a band out of Orange County called New Year's Day that I really like. Sort of like Warped Tour rock.
We just had Nick from Joyous Wolf on from Orange County.
You know
those guys?
I've heard of the name, yeah.
Check that band out. They're pretty fucking good.
Okay.
Like, just rock, hard rock.
Very cool. I mean, it's so weird to me when people say, oh, rock's dead or whatever.
It's like, not such dead.
Like, Shinedown's on an arena tour. Green Day's on an arena tour. You know, Guns N' Roses just hit the road again.
Yep. Well, let's talk about you guys in LA Guns.
Sure.
You just released this live album. It's fucking killer.
A couple days ago, yeah.
You know, and there is definitely renewed interest in this type of rock music. I mean, what are you seeing as being a part of LA Guns right now?
Well, it's so hard to say because we haven't really been out since late 19.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to test the waters.
I mean,
personally.
Does it feel like people are really engaged, like with what you guys are doing, like this rock music?
Well, there's a core audience that's definitely interested in everything we do, but it like a lot of bands at that level or our level, you know, it's not 1990 anymore or whatever everybody's heyday was.
Right, but it seems like those bands are being popular again. Like there's
well, it comes in waves, and I feel like it started kind of up again, like around. Maybe the early aughts.
Okay.
I think, and I hate to admit it, but I think that Rock of Love show really brought a lot of attention.
Was that Bret Michaels?
Yeah. The host was Ricky Rack. I can't get his name out of my mouth. I mean, to be fair, he's my best friend. That jerk. But, you know, that kind of renewed this interest, amongst other things, with like Poison and like, hey, whatever happened to Skid Row? And, you know, they were doing TV shows on like, you know, let's put Vixen back together. And
I remember that show. Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know. I guess it was just like the next generation. And it kind of stayed steady, I think, since then. There's been some, you know, fluctuation, of course. But, you know, I mean, we're still able to go out and play, you know, 3, 5, 1,200 people a night, whatever, on our own. And I think that'll kind of stay that way for a while, I would like to hope. And, you know, I mean, there's always a new generation. You see these people showing up with their kids 10 years ago. And then now the kids are 30. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my daughter's six and I played her. And I'm like, geez, we're turning it into the third generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's great. But I mean, you know, bands that have been around that long, or you get into 20 plus years as a career, you start talking about 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. I mean, my parents took me to see the Stones when I was like 14.
Nice. There you go, Brian.
You know,
nice.
I'm almost 40 now. There so you go. It's like, if I had a 10-year-old kid, which I don't, thank God, I would take my kid to see the Stones. You know, so it becomes that kind of thing where you're just passing it on.
Right.
It's the same thing with Kiss or Aerosmith. So
I took my kids to see a Tesla concert and also Blackberry Smoke.
Oh, so, yeah, like, great. Yeah. I just saw them recently.
On the Spirit of the South tour with Almond Betts and all that?
I'll be honest. I can't remember who.
Great live band, but they're keeping guitar rock. I mean, they have three guitar players, two drummers. Like,
yeah.
I think where I'm going with, or try I'm going with this, is I think there's a definitely renewed interest in rock, and there's a audience and market for it.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you're seeing that. Like, I've seen a bunch of L.A. Gun shit come up, deservedly so. You had the new album.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you guys got a tour going on. Like, where are you going?
Well, we're not really touring heavily probably till... Probably till the new year.
Letting things settle down a little bit.
I think that's the game plan. I mean, we've got shows for this year starting in the fall. It's one of those things where, like, I honestly don't even know. Like, I'm supposed to
you
get...
You got people for that.
Yeah, I'm like, someone will email me.
We're trying to give you our money, Ace. Where the hell can we give you money? Yeah.
Well, just donate it to a local rescue. There's some stuff coming up, and I don't know, starting in October or maybe November.
Got it.
The live album's out. We got a new studio album coming out in the fall, Checkered Past. Some bluesy stuff on that. Yeah. Definitely some Zeppelin type vibes in there.
Sure.
Most of the tracks, I think of like the hook, the riff in the songs on the new album are total, just, you know, straight from the source blues riffs. You know, like, you know. So, you know, we get the new record and then there'll be some touring next year. I already lost my train of thought. That's got nothing to do with the bud.
I'm trying to figure out, how do we give you money?
That's the age catching up with me. Who put the chewed up food in my mouth, you know? But yeah, just, you know, it's a great gig. I love my guys. And we got some stuff coming up I'm excited about. I'm really happy with how the live record turned out.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic,
Thank you.
Really does.
It's a really cool... humbling to be a part of that sort of legacy of that record, because that's like the big album. And
I was working out to the other day too, and it's a good album to work out to.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. It's got, you know, it's kind of all over the place. It's some punky stuff, some Aerosmithy stuff.
But that's LA Guns.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's another thing that I enjoy about the band is there's quite an eclectic catalog, and the new record is very much that as well. There's some acoustic songs and some dark slow tunes and some, you know, bordering on metal bangers, and you know, it's all over the place. I think it's cool.
You know, when we talk about Southern rock, one thing that's infamous about that is the two guitar players. I know that you guys aren't Southern rock, but can you talk at all about, like, the interplay between you and Tracy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorite things is somebody was asking me earlier about, you know, what's it like to kind of step down and just basically be... Tracy, for a while, was jokingly calling me the other lead guitar player. And I was like, dude, no, I'm like the glorified rhythm guy. Like, this is your band, homie. You know, and so I love that he'll come up with something and then I'll come back and go, well, what if I did this Thin Lizzy harmony thing? I'm like, you got me standing right here. I'm like, why would I just play an A chord when I could do this little complimentary thing? And so it's been fun to kind of bounce stuff back and forth like that. We were in Vegas last weekend doing a music video. And I go, because it was his solo section, and I goes, there's a harmony part in there, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, do you mind if I play that in the video? I was like, it's in the track. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's always been pretty gracious with letting me do, not whatever I want, but more often than not, I would kind of either ad-lib or come up with something or go, hey, you know, on the album, there's this, it's almost inaudible, but there's this sort of a third and a fifth or whatever the terminology is. I don't know. I never went to school for this.
I play guitar and I don't know.
I don't know what it is. You know, a flat 30th. I don't know. And then he's basically just like, do whatever you want, and if I don't like it, I'll let you know. And to date, I don't think once he's ever been like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. So we have fun with stuff, and a lot of times I won't even tell him anymore. I'll just be like, you know what? I'm going to do this harmony. And if he says, don't do that again, he'll tell me.
Yeah.
But it's usually after the gig, he'll be like, I don't know what you did in that B section, but that was cool. And I'll be like, yeah, it was. I had a couple Bud Lights and came up with
it. Didn't eat for 3 days.
Yeah, I didn't eat for 3 days.
You need to make an album where nobody eats and you just drink Bud Lights.
I think I was in that band at least twice. You know? But yeah, it's cool to have the interplay. And but, you know, I mean, Tracy's a underscore legend.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Know?
And no,
so
for sure.
I kind of, you know, I've been in bands where I've shown up and been like, so what solos are mine? And I showed up to this and I was like, look, I'll do what you want me to do. And I came in kind of thinking, you know, you do your homework. And I saw some video and I've been on stage with those guys countless times just to dick around.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew what I was doing and what they wanted, what they were looking for. And I showed up and, you know, well prepared and ready to do some harmony stuff, like the Over the Edge solo and Kiss My Love Goodbye, which is a total bluesy.
Oh, man. That,
you know, that...
Absolutely.
And we harmonize that. Yeah. And I'm not sure if that's on the studio version, but at least how I learned it is
it's on the harmony. Yeah, it's on the live. Like, it's played like on the live.
Live.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And so, you know, stuff like that, we have fun.
Yeah,
you know,
and even Ballad of Jane's got that southern rock, country, all country.
Totally.
And it's a
and
classic.
We dig deep into that, too. We do some stuff where it's almost like chicken picking, almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't know if I necessarily carried my weight on that in the live album because it was so like, hey, we haven't played in a year. I hope I remember this.
Not but an easy song to play either. Not easy.
It's not hard. It's not easy.
But it sounds easy, but when you try to play it, it's not necessarily easy, that main riff. Yeah.
Well, the main riff is just a C natural chord moved up to
D. See, there, now you're doing theory at us.
And
I thought you didn't know theory.
If you pick it, rather than using a pick, if you do your fingers.
Yeah. Two fingers.
That's how I attack it usually. And then we get a little jammy in there and make it a little... What was the term? Cowpunk. Is
cowpunk.
The term. We said, let's make it cowpunk. So we kind of brought it back a little bit. And, you know, a lot of these songs, you get these bands where they're like, we've played this for 30 years. How can we make this sound like it is on the album-ish, but still make it interesting for us?
Right.
So we kind of went that approach with it. You know, it's still one of my favorite songs to play.
I've loved L.A. Guns since that first album came out. Because I love that, like, that... I know it's called sleaze rock, but it really is, like... punk, blues, like it's all like a mix.
And there's absolutely, and I think Tracy would tell you himself, there's absolutely a punk undercurrent
Well, Sex Action's a punk song.
Oh, totally. Well, the drummer on the first album is Nicky Beat. And Nicky Beat was in the Germs and the Cramps and the Weirdos and Gun Club. That's a LA punk
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. And I do believe, I'm speaking out of turn here, but I do believe, in my opinion, that the reason Tracy brought him in was because of his punk street cred.
Right.
You know, because when that stuff was being written in the mid-80s, there wasn't really so... It was sort of like, we have long hair, but we're kind of the Joneses, but we're kind of Motley Crue, but we're kind of punk, but we're kind of this. And then they got Phil from Girl. And Phil, one of my favorite things about being in a band with Phil Lewis... is that he'll tell you flat out, he'll be like, I have no regrets about my age or any of the stuff. He goes, I got to see Generation X in 79 and The Damned in 78 and all this stuff, aside from the rock stuff, obviously, UFO and stuff. Because as a punk fan, I like to wax about all that stuff with him too. And I think that's sort of, and it worked with that with Pussycat with me as well, with Jamie talking about New York
punk
Dolls.
Element. Yeah, hell
this, everybody thinks of it as, you know, glam or hair metal. But everybody really, even like Spaghetti Incident from Guns N' Roses, those are predominantly punk rock songs.
Absolutely.
Fear, the Misfits, Iggy Pop, the Sex Pistols. And, you know, those are punk bands. So everybody culled from that stuff, whether it was earlier stuff, whether it was Bowie or the Dolls or T-Rex, all the way to, you know, L.A. punk rock. So, and that's where I think I fit in well because... I'm way more Social Distortion than I am Skid Row.
Yeah, yeah. You know, well, you look more Social Distortion than Skid Row, too.
You know, Orange County, you know. This next one's called Story of
My Life. Social D's a fucking legendary band, too,
though.
That's
one of my top 10 bands.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So good.
I'm not a big fan of live albums.
Yeah.
One of my favorite live albums is Social D Live at the Roxy.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a really good live record.
Yeah, yeah. We used to...
And pretty bluesy. Hate to say it.
My band's covered Story of My Life before. Just because it's funny. Because we used to... For some reason, whenever we were affiliate, like Roller Derby Girls loved us in our band, so like that's a song that they liked, and we would freaking play that song. It's a great song.
It's a, well, that's one of those ones that, like, even if you don't know Social Distortion, everyone's like,
yeah, everyone knows that. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, it's got the hook, like big meaty hook that everybody just clams onto.
They call that Three Chords and the Truth.
And that's Duff McKagan's show on Sirius, Three Chords and the Truth.
Yeah, it's a punk.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know about fire.
That's what I thought. I was like, somebody had too many Bud Lights in the bar.
There's a free chair next to you. Just throw it, Ace.
This is going to power me through the next 4 hours.
So, new album coming out this fall.
Checkered Past.
Yep. We'll look for tour dates.
Yeah.
All the same social medias we want to go on to find out everything LA Guns is doing.
At LA Guns and at Ace Vaughn Johnson. We're all pretty easy to find.
You're super active on Twitter, like you and Tracy both are.
Tracy as well. I do not care for social media.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I don't want to candy coat and be like, oh, I love it. No, I hate it.
But you're doing good with the dog rescue stuff.
Yes,
though.
It's a necessary evil for my position. And then also, it's all my dog rescue advocacy stuff and networking. That's the one thing. When I wake up in the morning, I may skip over, like, oh, you got tagged in a group photo. I'm like, okay, cool. But if somebody sends me, you know, some injured dog in Miami, I'm like, oh, I need to send that to my people in Florida or repost or whatever, because it's just a priority to me. But that's what social media is great for, or for, you know, keeping in touch with your fans, or keeping in touch with your grandma, or promoting a new record. But overall, I'm not a big social media guy. But yeah, Twitter's my main avenue.
But you're a little bit active. Tracy's very active. You guys are really gracious with the fans and all that stuff too.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
I mean, you're using it, a shitty social media platform, for a force of good. It's nice to
see.
Well,
they're all
They
all have their pros and their cons,
right?
You know, and I like how sort of Twitter's very. You only get 160 characters or whatever.
308. I don't know.
Yeah, you can only say so much, you know.
But
so.
You can be a real asshole in that amount of characters.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but there's assholes everywhere.
That's true.
No matter where you go.
My family motto is, we teach our kids this, is don't be an asshole. Literally. When they're being assholes, we make them repeat it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they're not as much assholes as they used to be.
good parenting.
Brian, anything for Ace?
Oh, no, I'm just glad, very grateful for you to come on here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Anytime you guys want to come back to promote the new album, just let us know, man. We'd love to have you guys
on. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Our friend Matt Wake has come back on to chat with us.
He's in person, live in front of us.
Hey, guys.
At the expo.
You're much better looking live than on social media, but I do recognize you.
Three dimensions do become both of you, Jason and Brian. So 3D, yes.
But thanks for hopping on here. We didn't know you were coming. If I would have known you were coming.
It's a nice surprise.
Yeah, man. I saw you walking. I'm like, holy shit, that's Matt Wake.
I'm like a conference ninja. I just kind of.
You just appear. So you materialize.
You are a professional journalist. Obviously, you came on our podcast to talk about your experiences with rock and everything. Are you here as a journalist or as a civilian?
You know what? I am here mainly as a civilian to hang out with people like y'all. My friend Greg Renoff, the great Van Halen Rising writer, who I've been friends on the phone, texting, social media for like 9 years. First time we've hung out in person, and super cool guy, super talented writer. So, and it's great to see you guys, the Amorica
guys.
State
of Amorica guys, we asked for our tables to be together.
I mean, it had to be.
Right? Because we're sort of, you know, we're a little bit of a square peg in some round holes around here.
Brother podcasts.
Yeah, you guys are in the same podcast hemisphere of the globe, podcast globe.
We are. But, you know, it's good to have you on. So you coming on here as a civilian, I mean, hanging out with your friend.
Yeah.
What were you looking to see and do here? Did you get memorabilia? Did you see some shows?
Okay, probably the coolest thing for me, besides, you know, seeing...
Oh, talking to us, of course, right, yeah.
Seeing these handsome gentlemen right here. But... meeting in person some people I've interviewed for stuff before,
yeah.
Like the old LA Weekly story I did on the Cat House, the kind of infamous Hollywood club. Talked to Ricky Rackman,
yeah.
And just connecting with him, and I did a big story for LA Weekly on that metal show. Talked with Don Jameson.
We talked to Don today.
He's so great.
Did you talk to Ace?
Yes, got a chance to meet Ace Von Johnson from LA Guns.
Yep.
Huge LA Guns fan.
Well, yeah, you and Tracy have developed this really good relationship on Twitter, it sounds like.
He's
a fan of yours.
Well, he's a cool guy, and you know what? You interview these people, you ask them good questions.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have developed those relationships too. So, it's cool. That's a cool thing about what we do, right?
Yeah, for sure. The connections. So you've got to actually meet some people in person that you've interviewed, kind of like what we've done here.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get any vinyl?
I did. So, and I kind of keep this list of, you know, I've tried to scale back. My accountant, quote unquote, has told me to scale back my vinyl purchasing. So what I do, I'll keep a running list. So like, okay, I checked a few things off. Judas Priest, Point of Entry.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't see that out a lot in the wild. And Bark at the Moon, Ozzy, which it's gone. You don't see as much of it lately in record stores, and the price has gone up on Discogs, and I got it at a good price. I also got the Kiss album, Hot in the Shade, which you never see. It had a little love on it, but I got a good deal on that. And the first Rush album, the real Zeppelin-y sounding one. I had that on cassette, but I'm changing cars, and my new car doesn't have a cassette player.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Surprising you still had a cassette player in your car. That's amazing. That's impressive.
Yeah, and what's even weirder is it was a 2002.
Yeah.
So it had a disc changer and the cassette.
It had the full package.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like, glorious. Like
everything you could want.
At one time, believe it or not, people, that was impressive.
We had a minivan. You know, I'm dad. That had a CD player, a tape player, and a DVD player.
Damn.
That's big pimping.
That is big pimping. And you know what? I wish more minivans would do the 70s van thing of, like, having an airbrushed, wizard or warrior
Led
goddess.
Led Zeppelin album cover was always good, like House of the Holy or something.
It would be great. You should
a bunch of naked kids on the side of a van.
You know,
70s van.
You should definitely get
with
that.
Park in front of the school. Everything would be great.
With an 8-track player. Are we going to slide
you would
back
have
to
that
8-track?
Yes.
Yeah, bring back the 8-track and some shag carpeting, water ceiling. So that's what I picked up. And I picked up Greg a copy of Circus Magazine with a 83 copy with a David Lee Roth interview. So
shit.
Yeah.
What a nice friend.
Well, you know.
You writers got to stick together.
It's part of my commitment to excellence. So, you guys got any new music you're digging, or any?
Brian, I know you. This isn't you. I know because we just interviewed her from one of the bands.
Well, the Dead Deads.
Oh yeah, they're drummers from my hometown. A friend of mine.
Yeah,
Katie.
She's Knoxville. That's right. Yeah,
super cool. Yeah, I like them. Heavy, catchy.
It's kind of like Foo Fighters with Sheryl Crow on lead vocals. But they're very, you can't really put them in any category.
The new stuff's not quite as metal because now they're a three-piece. It's a little bit, funkier, jazzier hooks, but they did promise the rest of that on some of the album, though, would be some of the heavier stuff.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, they are a trio, but not so much a power trio. It's kind of power poppy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, with some horns on the album now, too.
Wow, I haven't heard that part.
Yeah, man. The new single is First Tooth, that's out. The rest of the album comes out August 20 or 20th?
20-something, yeah.
20, I think the 20th, the Friday.
Well, they got two singles. The other one's Deal With Me.
Yeah, yes. That one's really good.
Yes. So they've been good. They're opening from Candlebox right now. So
yep,
Kevin's got them out there. I know you know Kevin. I think you've interviewed Kevin.
Yeah, and you guys have, too.
We have. Yeah, he's a good dude. And we're going to have him do a video. We do a thing called a quick hitter over Facebook and stuff, a video. He's going to come on after the new album comes out in September, and they get a couple two more tour dates on their shelf. So we're going to check in with him, try to get the Dead Daisies checked in. I'm digging right now, talking about new bands. Like, I think when you were on, we talked about Joyous Wolf a little bit. I am still digging those guys. Like, Joyous Wolf, it's a freaking great sound. Like, just that's just a rock band. So I've been listening to a bunch of their stuff right now.
Their lead singer is so good, so charismatic.
He's crazy.
I saw them open up for Dirty Honey a couple months ago.
Yeah, nice.
And, you know, Dirty Honey, they were good the last time I saw them on the EP, you know, tour, but they're really good now, Dirty Honey is.
Yeah, I just saw them open for the Crows this past week in Cincinnati.
Did they hold their own? Did they win some people over, you think, in the crowd?
They did. My only critique is... and this was on the Cincinnati Review of State of America podcast, was the guitar player did get a little derivative on some of the solos. Like, he wore the hell out of the pentatonic minor. I think he's a good player. He's got a chance, and it's all about playing live, not the studio stuff, to build his live chops a little bit. But they sounded great. Lead singer was good. They were good. They won some people over. Awesome. I'm just an asshole and critical.
Okay, so I got a new track I like. It's a Nashville band, since we're here in Nashville. This band, I think they're young, Naked Gypsy Queens.
I've heard about them.
It's like the third time somebody said
Naked Magnolia Bio's done quite a few shows with them, or some shows with them.
So, the other stuff's a little more indie, but it still kind of has a hard rock thing, but they have a new single, Georgiana. It's got a kind of jammy, hard rock, bluesy, kind of Zeppelin-y, maybe a little early Crowsy, but I love... it's a solid track. The sound I really like, and the video is cool. It's kind of like a mix of like the High as the Moon tour meets Too Fast for Love era Motley Crue. They've got like candelabras, and like it's dark, and they look very rock in a cool way, but not over the top. So I think they might be a band to watch if they can, you know, it's all about getting good songs.
Yep. And so when I saw, a couple weeks ago back in Ohio, I saw Tyler Bryant in the Shakedown with the Georgia Thunderbolts. Two great young.
Love Tyler Bryant.
Yeah, that show was, have you seen him live?
I saw him open up for Axel DC.
Axel DC. Wow. The stage show for those guys. Now, they were headlining. Was amazing. Like, it was more rock than blues, even though they did some of their older blues stuff. He gave a chance for everybody to shine. Like, everybody in the band. Like, it was they were a good band. It blew my mind. And then I stopped and talked to Tyler after the show. I'm like, hey, I'm Jason from all. He's like, did I talk to you? I talked to you guys. I'm like, yep. He's like, hey, how are you guys doing? And like, just a nice guy. A nice guy.
Yeah. And he's, you know, things are going well for them. And I think they'll continue to go well for them because they have good songs. They're good songs, good love, nice fans.
Good people, nice musician. The Georgia Thunderbolts, have you checked them out?
A little bit.
They're the new Skinner, but not so much country-ish, more rock. I definitely check them out. They have an album coming out in September. Them Dirty Roses, which is, I think, also from your neck of the wood. They're from Alabama.
Yeah.
They have a new album that's coming out at some point, but they've released two singles right now, Holy Roller and Sunday Drunk. Really good tracks. Definitely more rock, less country. Check those two tracks out from Them Dirty Roses.
And someone else that we spoke to today, young lady, blues rock guitarist, Jax Hollow. Really good.
She shreds on guitar, too. She's like
from Nashville here.
Shredder.
Love Nashville rockers because, I love female rockers because thinking about it, think of how many of the best male singers sound like chicks.
Female. Robert Plant.
Chris Robinson. Sounds like Chris Robinson, you know, he's
higher range.
He likes to think he sounds like Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Which is a great rock voice. Speaking of the Crows, I got a question for you. So I'm going to see them September 5 at Oak Mountain.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of second set. So they're doing Moneymaker.
Moneymaker. Right, yep.
They're doing kind of a greatest hits and some kind of other cuts in the second set. What's a song you guys would like to hear added to that second set or worked in? Mine is Gone from America.
Oh,
slams.
They played A Conspiracy in Cincinnati, and they haven't played that yet on that, and they've hardly played that song live in forever, and that kicked ass.
Awesome.
Gone's a good one. I would say Virtue and Vice.
Huh, yeah, that'll rock.
That rocks.
Goodbye, Daughters of the Revolution.
Ooh, that song rocks.
You know, I was just thinking that War Paint album, very solid, you know, for that era, and it rocked, but I think War Paint more than anything struck the balance between their jammy and rootsy side and the rock side. It found a balance in there. Mm-hmm. That
it's a great point.
I think was good for them.
The first half was like the older Crows, like the straight up rock. The second half was like the newer Crows and like Before the Frost, like where they were starting to do a little bit more of that folky, like Whoa Mule and there's Gold in the Hills and God's Got. You know what I mean? Yeah, like those. So that's a great point. Old Crows and New Crows on the same album.
Yeah, I thought it was a strong, effective. Yeah. And gosh, man, you know, I've been writing professionally for like 20 years now, and I thought about this the other day. It's like, how many times can I describe a hard rock riff? And I try new ways. So I totally respect bands that are like 20 years in, and they can still do good work, and it doesn't.
And not derivative of themselves.
Or, it's not Black Crows by Numbers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm so psyched to hear the stuff that they've been working on with George Drakoulias. And
right. When are we going to get that? You know, do you have an inside scoop from your journalism?
You know, I don't, but I would think they're right now. Music business is one part music, one part business. They've got this tour to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the Wolfgang. When is they going to do an Eddie Van Halen tribute concert?
Yeah.
There's no way that I seriously doubt they would do that until Wolfgang's done with his album cycle, touring it.
Well, because he's doing his own thing. He doesn't want to be Van Halen.
And also, like, Alex probably wants to let him, nephew, have his, you know, turn.
Sure.
So you guys got any other concerts?
Well, going back to the Crow show real fast before we move it.
Let's do it.
There were two songs from Shake Your Money Maker that I thought were excellent in the... me being a deep Crows fan, but the crowd bought into it by the end. Sister Luck and Seeing Things, those came off so powerful and so good live that the crowd cheered hardest for at the end of those songs than they did for anything else. So they cheered the loudest, like when Hard to Handle came on or She Talks Angels. But by the end of the song, the cheering wasn't as loud for Sister Luck or Seeing Things because those were powerful live.
And timeless sounding. They sounded timeless when they came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And maybe people haven't heard them in a while, which makes you appreciate it. And you're like, oh, yeah, I used to love this on my CD or tape. What do you think about All in All? I know you've probably offered this opinion, but just for this kind of section of your podcast, what was your overall take on the show, the Moneymaker show?
It was great. Like, I did the thing with Dave and Ian. My anticipation was a 6 going in, and at the end of the concert, I rated 8.5.
You know what? Those guys are at their best when they're playing rock and roll.
And it was constrained rock and roll. We're playing the songs as they appear on the albums. We're not jamming, although I do love the jamming. My wife, who went with me, was not a big fan of jamming. She really appreciated the concert. But it was good to hear them, like, yeah, we can play in a box. I don't want them to do it again after this tour, but it was good to hear. Like, it was good. And they hit it hard every song. Every song, they hit it hard.
And you know what? I think what it's going to help them get is to reel in some of those, you know, casual fans who took the off-ramp with Three Snakes.
Yeah.
Some of them did with Unmarka, but a lot of them took the off-ramp.
In my second set was Southern Harmony Heavy. It had Thorn in My Pride, No Speak, No Slave, Remedy, Hotel Illness, all on it. And then there was A Conspiracy and Wiser Time from Amorica. Nothing from By Your Side, which disappointed me, because they're playing kick-ass rock. You expect By Your Side. Nothing from Three Snakes.
Yeah.
And then they had... Was that it then? No, they played Soul Singing off Lines, which is a kick-ass song. I love... That's one of my favorite Lady Era Crow songs.
Yeah, and they clearly like to play it.
Oh, they do.
They play... Even in the eras where they were mixing up the sets.
Yeah.
That and Wiser Time, you're almost guaranteed to hear.
But Soul Singing always puts a smile on everybody's face. It's got a good groove to it, you know. It's just... You got they had the background singers back now. They really add to, you know, that gospel sound.
Yes, and I think that was a good move, too.
Oh, they could not do some of those songs with, as much as I love Sven and everybody else doing backing vocals, when they lost Charity and Mona, it detracted from their live performances. That was my biggest critique against late era Crows before they stopped in 13 or whatever, is they didn't have the singers anymore. And that, you know, it's like My Morning Song, gotta have the singers.
Gotta
soul
have the
singing,
singers.
Gotta have the singers.
For My Morning Song, gosh, yes. I think that's a great move. Do you guys have any other concerts you're looking forward to? What else is going on with
you musically? I've got a pretty good run coming up here. August 27th, Them Dirty Roses in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Good live band.
The very next night in my hometown, Moorhead, Minnesota, which is across the river from Fargo, North Dakota, where I live, is there's a big barbecue music festival, the Sister City Smokeouts, and I'm going to be seeing Whiskey Myers on August 28th. And then Blackberry Smoke, September 3rd in Minneapolis, and then October 24th in Minneapolis, The Stones.
Wonderful, man. How many times have you seen The Stones?
8. This will be 9.
Wow, man. Yeah, you know what? I've been... I just bought a new car. It's new to me. So I've been, one of my favorite features on a car is once I have it paid off and I don't have a car payment. So I've had that for a while. And the cheap seats were basically what my car payment is. So
yeah.
I'm like, for now, I don't know if I'm going to go. But, God, they still bring it, man. And I think it'll be interesting to see, how Steve Jordan does with the drums. And, that's a hell of a thing to be looking forward to, Brian, is a Rolling Stones concert. And I love it. You're so good about you really have your thumb on upcoming bands and you mentioned a couple of them there, and I think that's one of the coolest things you guys do, and one of the things you're really good at is, kind of being a little ahead of the curve and just lifting up some of those new rock bands.
That's all, Brian.
Keep doing it.
I try.
Well, Matt.
Yes.
This is your first Rockin' Pod, probably, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before we end out everything, give us a rating. Give us, what do you think of Rockin' Pod?
I was looking forward to it, and it big smile
exceeded,
man.
Your expectations.
It is, it's small enough to be comfy and not underwhelming. They've had cool enough stuff, Matt Pinfield.
Yep, we talked to Matt.
I mean, how awesome is he? And
he sat right down and just started going, "Oh, I love Southern Rock and Blues," and like that, like we didn't have to say shit. He just started going,
just started giving you gold.
He's a professional.
Walking like hard drive of music, but like I was saying, small enough to not be overwhelming, have cool enough stuff where it's like, oh, that's cool, oh, that's Matt Pinfield and Ricky Rockman and Mark Goodman talking about MTV,
yeah.
Oh, that's Pamela
DeBar,
rock legend, man, all kinds of cool stuff, and I would recommend, and how very affordable.
The tickets are cheap.
If you live in Nashville and you like rock and roll, I think it's kind of like a gem.
I got the platinum thing for us, and it wasn't very expensive at all. It really wasn't. It's like maybe $150. So super affordable for us. And then, we got to be here a couple of days of travel, but like not bad. I think, what was your fee? $20 to get in?
$20, man. I mean, wow. Think of all the jive ass stuff you pay $20 for now. I mean, and then this is I think we may have talked about earlier just the kind of rock community vibe.
Yeah.
These are our people, man.
Like I said to you, this is like heaven.
Yeah. Everybody's cool with each other.
Yeah.
Like no egos with anybody or anything else. We've only heard a little bit of that, very few, but mostly it's pretty badass. Like everybody's really cool and into it.
And someone else I was really glad to meet finally is Philip Schaus, who's from Decatur, awesome guitar player, bassist. He's but in both the Ace Frehley solo band and the Gene Simmons solo band.
Oh, really?
And I've interviewed him a bunch of times over the phone. He's from my neck of the woods. It's just one of those people that's it's so cool to get the three-dimensional thing with. And, big good time here at the Rock and Pop.
I was telling Brian, I went to one of the business whatever ones and was all about how do you get better guests on. Not important to the story. I heard her voice coming from behind my head. I'm like, I know that voice. It was the guy that does the Rock and Review podcast. I was on it to do Layla, another Sort of Love songs. He doesn't do video chat, so I had no idea what the dude looked like. As soon as I heard his voice, hey, Chris, Jason. Hey. I thought that was cool.
That's awesome.
And now. You're on here.
Yes.
You get to pimp. What do we have to look forward to from Matt Wake?
Okay, so I got an interview with John Five, you know, talking about, you know,
playing. He's in Nashville right now.
Playing guitar with David Lee Roth and Paul Stanley and the stuff he's doing on his solo tour. I've got an interview coming up with Dave Perner from Soul Asylum.
Yeah, okay, nice.
He was awesome.
Minnesota guy, right?
Yeah.
In Minneapolis, yeah, man. Yeah. Super cool. Got something coming up. It's with the band Hanson, who just recorded an album at Fame. Taylor, the singer, super nice. And I like getting a little outside of rock sometimes because music is music.
Sure.
And another one, I think I said earlier, I've got an interview I've had in the can for a little bit with Artemis Pyle in regards to the...
Look forward to that.
Yeah, he's talking to the Cito Morca guys, yeah.
The anniversary of the 76 Nebworth Skynyrd mega show.
Yeah.
So that was great. And I have some other stuff coming up too, but those come to mind.
You going
to
ever write a book?
You know, I've got a couple of book ideas, and the thing is, you know, I'm blessed to have a good staff job writing for the Birmingham News, Huntsville Times, Mobile Press Register, AL.com. And as, you know, I'm 49 now, and some of the freelance opportunities have changed a little bit, so I've kind of backed off that a little bit. But the thing about writing a book is, like, I write all week, so it's...
At this point,
it's like the guy who works construction. Does when he comes home on the weekend,
Models.
Does he want to build a shed in the backyard?
Right.
But I love to write. But it's also like I'm 49. I'm liking spending time with my family.
Yeah.
I'm liking, you know, now that we've got a little more freedom for now.
Yeah, for now. God.
Ease off, Delta. Come on.
Come on, Alabama. Get vaccinated.
Oh, God. Yes, please.
But your governor even came out and was like, please get vaccinated.
Please. But, you know, being able to go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
Spend my time that way. But, yeah, I've got a couple of book ideas I really want to do. And, you know, hanging out with Greg Renoff is inspiring with that because, you know, the Van Halen Rising book and his Ted Templeman book. Like Ted called him while we were hanging out in the room, and it was a trip, you know, to hear him talk with Ted, you know, producer of Van Halen, producer of Little Feet, Doobie Brothers,
right.
All this cool shit.
Holy crap.
I love the Bullet Boys, and he produced them too.
A little Smooth Up in you.
I love Smooth Up in you. I interviewed Mark one time about, and he said that, you know, that intro, Smooth Up
in you.
He did that in two takes.
Oh, you did really? That really well. I know you play guitar. Do you also sing?
Yeah.
I can tell. I know you've been in bands.
I have. Yeah. And, you know, more people read my stuff than showed up for the gigs. But I had had fun doing that. And, you know, I'll play guitar on my own time. So, you know, you can do that till you drop. No one can ever take that from you.
Well, no, and before we let you go and close out, the reason I asked about the book is I'm a fan of your writing. You're a really good writer.
Oh,
you've got
a really
good voice. And, you know, you interact well with the rock community. And I like the way that you write. So, me, a personal thing, I was hoping you're going to write a book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, man, I really appreciate that.
It's got to be a heck of a commitment, a lot of time.
A lot of time, and, you know, it's got to be something. I want something that is going to connect.
Yeah.
And I think I have an idea or two that will connect. But and you also want to be original.
Yeah.
But you just don't want to put it out there and, like, it not be something that will connect with a certain niche. You hope it is big enough to resonate.
Right.
And I'd love to do that because
I could see a band grabbing you and say, hey, help us write our story.
I would love that. There are certain bands I would love to do that with. And, you know, because I would love to write a book because I know how much I've loved the books, the rock books that I love, like by Chuck Klosterman or by Greg, you know, or these other people.
Steve Hyden, how do you pronounce his last name?
Like I think it's Hyden. Yeah.
Yeah.
My understanding.
He's done a couple.
I haven't read them, but my understanding with the Gorman book is, and I could have this wrong, it's secondhand information, that he mainly helps, Gorman wrote it, and he helped him shape it.
Right, yeah, because he's a writer, and Gorman's not a writer.
But you know, Haydn's talented, no doubt. Right? Yeah, but I would love to pass on, give somebody else something cool to read, too, because I love reading cool rock stuff.
Hell yeah. Well, you're good dude. You're one of my favorite writers. They're writing about rock now.
Thank you, Jason, for
unexpectedly sitting down with us and taking the time. We appreciate that.
Oh, man. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, man, you guys are doing cool stuff. I And I dig how you keep lifting up these. I learn about new bands from you guys. And, you know,
that's so. What we're trying to do. There's a lot of good music out there without a platform.
Totally. And, you know, a lot of podcasts are, you know, it's centered around legacy acts, and we love those. And it's, those guys have great stories, and they're also charismatic. They have great stories, and they're good at telling them. But I love, we need new rock, too, when it's good. So you guys do a good job of lifting up.
Thank you so much. Stuff. Thank you, Matt Wake, our friend, for joining us again here at Rockin' Pod in Nashville. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the second installment of these Rockin' Pod episodes of the podcast. Next Friday morning, we will have for you the third installment with Brother Dusty from The Reveal, Connor Shank, and our little sister, Jax Hollow. The following day, Saturday afternoon, you'll get part four with Todd Poole and Josh Weil from Roxy Blue, and Anthony Corder and Keith Douglas from Tora Tora. Thank you again for joining us, and until then, Southern Rock is reverent and blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.